how happy I am to be back here. We missed you. We miss your fellowship. We miss worshiping with you. And my brother goes to a, I don't know what you call them nowadays, 200 or 300 people in the Baptist church that he attends in Arizona. And we went down there because my brother was dying. 6'2" when he was younger, and he was down to 142 pounds. So tired he couldn't get out of his chair. And we believe that God wanted to do something for it. We believe God gave us a message. We went down and prayed with him and for him every day. God turned the situation around, and before we left, we put a roof up over a little shed off the side of an outbuilding. He's out with a shovel and a hammer and stuff like that. So all I can say is, ain't God good?
Yes.
Amen. All the time. And if you prayed for Steve and Linda in those last weeks while we were gone, then you own a piece of that just as much as I do. And I want to thank you. Friendship, we feel, we were so excited to be back next week, and we were going to go to church. And then we woke up to snow, and then it just snowed more and more. And I don't know where you live, how much snow you got, but we had about 3.5 inches. And I said, we can make it down the hill. I'm not sure we can make it back up again. And so we, because we're old folks, decided we better stay home. But it's good to be with you this week, and excited to share with you some things. Before I do, I have a couple questions. Oh, I don't know. I think it's about 6-7 messages since I've been in this church. Sometimes preachers wonder, and this is a really dangerous thing to do. Preachers sometimes wonder if those messages that we've shared change anything. I preached a message about praying with your spouse. I wonder if that message had an impact on anybody's life yet. Anybody can say, well, it may not help anybody. Did it? One, I got a person nodding their head. Two, well, that's not bad out of 40 people. If you get 2 out of 40, that's doing real good. I preached a message about making our homes, our workplace, even our commute, a place and time of ministry. Did that message impact anybody? Does anybody change anything in 1, 2? Well, again, 2 out of maybe 40, that's not doing too bad. With that in mind, I'll share another message with you this morning. And but I have a thought to share with you. Some of you have invited people to church, and I'm afraid that maybe some of you said, you need to come here, Pastor Steve. He tells a lot of stories, and I'm kind of worried about that impact that might have on your friends that you're inviting to church. Maybe change the phrase a little bit and say he uses a lot of illustrations and not say that he tells a lot of big stories, and that might help a little bit. And with that thought in mind, I'll tell you another story. It was about this time of the year, it was a little bit closer to Thanksgiving, when I got a call from my mother. My mother was a good and godly lady, and she was one of my closest advisors because she prayed for me probably more than anybody else in this world. And I got a call from my mother. And you have to understand that my mother was a very slow person. I always wondered how she made it through the day and accomplished anything, because she was just, she spoke slow, she seemed to think slow. She was smart enough, it's just that she was slow. And when I say slow, I mean molasses in January slow. And so she called me, we did the normal little chit-chat, how you doing, feeling fine, all this stuff. And then she said to me, Stephen, I've been reading my Bible. And she made it like that was a real pronouncement. I've been reading my Bible, Stephen. And I said, well, good. I think you've been doing that every day for my whole life and a long time before that. Yes, but I read something specific. Good. It's kind of like pulling teeth to get something out of that lady. And she said, I said, good. What do you read specifically? She said, I've been reading the Proverbs. I said, Proverbs is my favorite book. What did you read in Proverbs that was so significant? She said, I read Proverbs 22:16. And I said, I don't know what that is. Do we have that by any chance? Put it up. There we go. He who oppresses the poor to make more for himself or gives to the rich will only come to poverty. And I said, yeah, I know that. I said, that's talking about those who give to rich people trying to curry favor. And she said, yes, but Stephen, you're rich. Now, I was taken a little bit back by that because this was about 25 years ago, and I was making $600 a month, plus my housing was provided. I paid all my own taxes out of that $600 a month. I paid all my professional expenses out of that. I was pastoring a growing church, but a small church in a struggling economy. And I thought for just a moment, and I said, Mom, you're right, I'm rich. I'm rich in a lot of different ways. She said, but financially, you're rich. And I said, well, you're right. And she said, Stephen, at my age, I can't be taking any chances. Yeah, he who gives to the rich will only come to poverty. You're rich, and I can't afford at my age to take chances. I said, okay. At this point, I'm talking and thinking kind of slow, too. I said, so how does that translate into the real world? And she said, well, I'm going to give you a Christmas present to somebody else. And I said, that's cool. I didn't say out loud, but I thought, there's other people who need socks more than I do. Yeah. I said, cool. So we talked about that for a few moments more, and then we did the niceties and hung up. A couple days later, I got a call from my big brother. We did those niceties, and then he said, have you talked to Mom lately? And I said, actually, I did talk to her a couple of days ago. He said, she tell you you're rich? And I said, yes, she did. I had an idea where this conversation was going to go. He said, so she's going to give you a Christmas present to somebody else? I said, yep. He said, and what do you think about that? I said, I think it's great. And he says, good, because I'm going to give you a Christmas present to somebody else. Things are looking a little thin under the Christmas tree by now, aren't they? I don't remember what my brother used to give me, but my mom got me socks. He might have got me gloves or something. A couple days later, I got a call from my brother that's 2 years older than I. We did the old chit-chat, and then he says, have you heard from Mom lately? Yeah. I said, did she call you and tell you you're rich? He said, yeah, she did. I said, well, you're the richest one in the family. I mean, he was a plumber. He's doing pretty good. I was the poorest one. I was a pastor. And we chatted about it, laughed about it. And he said, well, what do you think about that? And I said, I think it's incredible. I talked to Dave, and he's going to give my present to somebody else, too. He says, good. That makes me in there. And he says, you're not going to get any Christmas presents under the tree at all this year, are you? And I said, well, no, there'll be a couple for me. There went another Christmas present, just right out the window. I thought, I'm not going to wait for my other brother to call, so I called my baby brother. I said, hey, you heard from Mom? I wanted to be on the giving end of this deal. And I was. We decided we're going to give our presents to somebody else. And because we wouldn't want me sending socks all around the world and et cetera, we decided we'd take the money that we would normally spend on a Christmas present and give it to a charity of our choice, in honor of that family member. And that started a tradition in our household, which goes on to this day. And pastors are very discreet people about certain things. If you come to me and tell me that you have a problem, and you tell me in confidence, I'll take it to my grave. Nobody else will ever hear about it. But if you don't tell me it's in confidence, us preachers, we're blabbermouths. We just tell everybody everything. We'll just preach a sermon about it or whatever. And I got up in church that next Sunday, and I told people about these phone calls I've had. And I said, I just tell you this story so that you can consider not how rich you are, or that if you buy gifts to curry favor with a rich person that you might come to ruin, but rather, do we ever stop and think about who and why we give? Because the fact is, we all are rich. But my mother called me. I went to the library a few days later to see if I could find out what the world standard was for being rich. What the world standard was for wealthy. Now, this was approximately 25 years ago, so 1995, let's call it. And the world standard was $3,000 per household per year. Stop and think about that for a moment. I've got a nephew that makes that much every week. And he's a blue-collar worker. He's got a really fat job, works a lot of overtime, but he gets $3,000 almost every week. Now, with inflation, that number's got to be a lot bigger. But you see, I was making about $7,200 a year. And so I was over twice what the minimum income for being rich was on a worldwide scale. And so let's say in the 25 years, the income has tripled with all the inflation in the world, etc. Anybody here make less than $9,000 a year? If you make less than $9,000, well, then you're not rich. But if you make more than $9,000, you're rich. I'm still rich, and I thank God for it. And as I think about that, when I stop and I change gears and I say to myself, Steve, you are rich, and those who are given much, much will be expected. And so I have to say to myself, not what can I do because I can't afford to take any chances of coming to poverty, but rather, what could I do that would please God the most with the resources that he's put me in charge of. Somebody say, that's not bad. That's not bad, is it? And I think that sometimes we get so busy comparing ourselves to somebody who has more that we forget about the fact that when we look around the world, there's a whole bunch of people who have less. Matter of fact, it was not too long after that, approximately 2000, that I did some research. And I found out that more people in 2000 were eating with chopsticks than use forks. You go, what does that have to do with this? More people used chopsticks in 2000 than used forks. But more people ate with their fingers than used forks and chopsticks combined. Can I tell you something? You're rich. And some of you teenagers and younger are thinking, well, my family's not rich. We need a new car. Only rich people think thoughts like that. Let me tell you, only rich people think thoughts about that. I've been in numerous countries where people can't even really dream of owning a car. It's too far out of the realm of possibility. Stephen. And so I told my church about it, and it was really interesting what happened. We were coming into the Christmas season, and I started getting Christmas cards. And inside the card was a written note, usually. And sometimes there was a receipt, but sometimes it was just a note. And I want you to know that I got the most and the most expensive gifts for Christmas that I'd ever gotten in my whole life. One person gave $500, not to me, but to a charity in my name. Lots of people gave $250. Some people only gave $120. But there was a gift given in my honor to somebody who was in need. And I, if you would use the term, raised over $1,000 that year for people who had very, very. Now, as you can imagine, my two young teenage girls, they were about 12 and 13 at that time, they were not thrilled for me to share that message in church. They said, okay, we lost the presents from Grandma. We lost the presents from Uncle Dave and Dan and Wayne. We lost our presents from Dad, and now Dad's telling the whole church about it, and here goes the rest of it. So I told my girls, because you're little kids and you don't understand all this stuff, we're going to keep giving you a Christmas present. But it's going to be a smaller present, because most of your gift is going to go to somebody that really, really needs it. And we've done that for these years. And my grandson, who turned 25 this last year, put a thing online. I don't even understand how they do this. But he said, thank you for those who are wishing me well for my birthday. But instead of you sending me a card or money or some kind of gift, would you give it to the charity of your choice? My favorite charity is such and such and such and such. But if you want to remember me by giving my gift to somebody who really needs it. And I said, it got through. It got through, didn't it? It's a good feeling when you go, you know what? I tried to live this and I tried to teach it. And I see that the message got through. And you see, I went to the next church and I told the next church about that. And guess what? A lot of people did the same thing. I was a guest speaker at Christmas time, and so I'd tell them about our Christmas tradition. And now here I am in Skamania Community telling you about our barn's Christmas traditions. And you say, well, Pastor Steve, it's supposed to be a Christmas message, and, you know, there's only one scripture, and it doesn't even have to do with Christmas. Well, I think it does have to do with Christmas. I think it has a whole lot to do with Christmas. Do you want the scripture references for the other scriptures? I'll give them to you. There's over a dozen of them. Read the book of Proverbs this afternoon. It will only take you a few minutes. Over a dozen scriptures that warn us from currying favor with the rich and warning us to give generously to those who are poor. And it's repeated over and over in scripture. And so my encouragement to you this year is let's in this year of COVID, when things are absolutely crazy, let's change our mindset from what if to thank you, God, for your goodness to me. And then I've got enough to share with others. Stop and think. For a few dollars, you can buy somebody a rabbit through the Heifer Project. For just a few bucks, you can buy them a rabbit. And it's hard to imagine that that will change somebody's life, but it will. And if you go to these different online sites from some of these different Christian organizations like World Vision and stuff, they have just a list of creative things you can give to. We've dug wells in Africa, 10 foot per person, and that was our Christmas gift. And I'm just saying to you, there's all kinds of things you can do, but I have a favorite, and I want to tell you about that as I close. Because 20 years ago, Bill Bright, he's the founder of, if somebody can say it. Thank you, Campus Crusades for Christ. Old time was there. Campus Crusades came up with the Jesus Film Project. And if you've been on the mission field like we have, then you've probably seen that in work. Originally, 20 years ago, for 80 cents, at least given through our denomination, the Church of the Nazarene partnered with Campus Crusade. And we did the rural areas, they did the cities. For 80 cents that was given, somebody accepted Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask some questions. This is a raise the hand. How many of you have been used by God to win at least 10 people to Christ in your lifetime? Okay. How many of you have been used by Jesus Christ to win over 100? How many of you think it would be really, really cool to win? I see one hand up. I see hands all over the place all of a sudden. I tried. I've been online and I tried to find out what the average cost per convert was currently, and I couldn't find it. My guess is, figuring in inflation, it's probably about $3. So that means for $300, you could win about 100 people to Jesus. Did you hear that? I know my voice is getting scratchy, and so I'm going to look at you again. I'm going to say it. Do you realize for $300, you could win 100 people to Jesus Christ? I'm going to look you in the eye. I'm going to get a little bit closer, even with COVID. Do you realize for $300, you could probably win? Does that impress you? What could you do for $3,000? Have you ever dreamt of winning 1,000 people to Jesus Christ? $1,000, you probably could. I was on the website, and it did say for $175, you can send a team out to a church in a village that has no Christian church, and that there will be enough believers that there will form a church for your $175. Have you ever thought of planting a church? You can do it for $175. You don't have to give to that. There's a lot of other worthy things. And the only reason they can do that is they already have an established infrastructure, already have people in place. But I'm just saying to you, it's Christmas time, a time where we give gifts in memory of the fact that gifts were given to Christ. Don't give me a Christmas present. I have to confess this to you. I've got a grocery sack that is over full of socks in the top shelf in my closet. I don't really need any more socks. I'm not going to live long enough to use up the ones I've got. But would you do this? Would you say, God, what would you please? Father God, thank you for this time. Thank you for these people. And thank you for this message. Add your blessing, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.